If the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and the 6th verse. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Chapter 3, the book of Proverbs, and the 6th verse. This is a subject which you will be familiar with the wording of it, and it is a very straightforward word. And if you were to ask as to how it is there is such a concern amongst us in our cause of truth regarding you, dear young people, and your future in time and eternity too, this word will define it, that it is our deep down desire that you should, as grace is given, be brought to acknowledge God with whom you have to do, and that in your everyday life you should seek his aid, that the paths you go along may be such paths that you may beg his blessing to be upon you as you go therein. The margin reading is striking. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall make straight thy paths. And you know some of the paths that you go along in youth and in life's morning cannot be designated straight. They are not straight with the word of God, but they are outside the covers of it, not in accordance with what is laid down as good paths, safe paths to walk in inside the covers of it. I'm not making any reflections on you, dear young people. I'm only telling you the truth. I have to aim to have a good conscience when I am on my dying bed that I have kept back nothing that is profitable to you. And it is a wonderful mercy if along life's way you can feel that God is going before you to order your goings. I can speak from a deep down experience, and I do want to be found inside that word in the Psalms. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And now, this is what a good man, a good woman, a good youth, a good maid will be concerned to do. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And it means ask the blessing of God upon the ways you're in. If you can, mark that wording. In other words, if you dare, because there are some ways you might be going along where it is an impossibility for you to acknowledge God and ask him to bless you as you traverse those ways. For you are traversing those ways with your back toward God. and you are just living still as you were born, after the flesh, the things of the flesh. And now do not think that the pastor is too stern and severe, but that is the truth of the matter. And your consciences will tell some of you that the ways you are going along as yet are ways wherein you have no concern to acknowledge them. When you think of God, you also behave like this: depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thee or thy ways. When you think of Jesus Christ, the dear man that he is, who befriends poor sinners, who delighteth in mercy, you say, we will not have this man to reign over us. And now that is a very solemn consideration. The word of God tells us, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. As I was thinking of you, dear young people, and thinking of giving you an address, it came to my mind as to the why and wherefore that many of us under Union Chapel roof have such a concern regarding your eternal welfare. And now, I just read you a little piece out of one of the Psalms, and that will tell you. And I hope you will appreciate it. Not my reading of it, but the truth of it, that it is for your good in time and eternity too. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. I might make a pause there. Think, if you can, how godly fathers and mothers in Israel long ago, in the psalmist's time, would be able to tell their children the wonders that they saw in Egypt wrought on their behalf, and in the wilderness, and in how the land of promise was conquered by them, that they might dwell therein according to the word of God. There would be wonders upon wonders told, and the children would listen with an intense interest. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Follow this along, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And now, that is the foundation, truth, that underlies the interest that is shown to you, dear young people, that you might, as grace is given, set your hope in God and not be left to live and die without God and without hope. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Remember who he is. He is thy creator, and you are his creature. You are his handiwork. and you owe him lifelong obedience to him because of who he is, your creator. And if you live your life and never acknowledge him, then at the end of life's journey, when you appear before the judgment seat of Christ, you will have to give an account of how you live such a life without acknowledging him, in whom you did live and move and have your being dependent upon him for every breath that you drew. And now, in approaching this subject, and I want, as the Lord to help me, to make it as instructive and interesting as I can, seeking out acceptable words, I thought of a word in the book of Job. And Job said this. I wonder if you, dear young people, realize this truth. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. And you know, as you go about in the cities and towns, in driving your cars, you sometimes see a notice, one-way street. You cannot return down that street. And life, as you live it, is just like that. Life is a one-way street. And you go on through time into an eternal state. Do remember that. Acknowledge him, thy creator. There is a word in the Psalms I want to say a word or two on, because it will help you to understand one viewpoint whereby sinners, young and old, are enabled to acknowledge him. And the psalmist says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn sound." I never light on those words in my reading without thinking of a godly old man who, in one of our courses, in his public prayer, quoted about showing forth the loving kindness of God upon an instrument of 10 strings. And then he asked the Lord to define the 10 strings. And he said, "Lord, have I got it right? 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 hands, 2 feet, 1 tongue, and 1 heart, and the heart, the mainspring of it all." And he said something like that in his prayer. And now, that is just how you will acknowledge him, if your heart is made right with God. You will want to use your 2 eyes and acknowledge him in what you see. Acknowledge his handiwork. And it will be good if you can say with John Clavell, "O may mine eyes kept closed be from what concerns me not to see, which will not be for my edification and profit." You will want to acknowledge him with your ears. And you know, there is a great deal that goes in an ear gate, which if you did always acknowledge him, surely you would keep the ear gate shut and not listen. Think of what there is in the world nowadays. Much of it goes in an ear gate. And the fruits of it are not good. And God is not acknowledged in it. Because it emanates from hell, not from heaven. Two hands. And it says, by him, actions are weighed. And now in what you do, you should acknowledge him who has given you two hands to use. And your two feet, what does that suggest? Surely, if you have got some good thing in your heart toward the Lord God of Israel, it will suggest this. Make me to walk in thy commands. 'Tis a delightful road. Nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. You have one tongue. And it seems amazing, as James tells us in his epistle in the Word of God, that the fountain can send forth waters both sweet and bitter. But then it says, when a sinner is born again, they shall speak with new tongues. And those new tongues with which sinners born again will speak, and by which they will sing the songs of Zion, they will tune their hearts to acknowledge him whose they are and whom they serve. But the starting point is here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Acknowledge him, thy creator. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He will hear what you tell out before the throne of grace, although it may be in a stammering way that you do it, and you may be troubled and tempted in the doing of it. But God is in heaven. Can he hear a feeble prayer like mine? Yes, that he can. I need not fear. He'll listen unto mine. Acknowledge him. And I want to put the emphasis, as the Lord shall help me, upon the hymn. Lately, I've heard people using an expression. When I heard it first of all, I wondered what the meaning could be. But I've heard it so many times that I have gathered the meaning, and I find it is used in the press. And what is used in the press, alas, very soon slips off people's tongues, whether they are young or old. And this expression I very much dislike. I detest it. And it is not of God, and it emanated from hell itself. It is this expression. You say that such and such a one is not with it, or he is with it. And you read it, as I have said, in the daily press. And it means that you are either not in a line with some particular knowledge, or that you do possess it, and therefore you are with it. And now, that is not in the Word of God as an expression to be used. But I will tell you what is. And oh, if it could only be the truth about you. This is what is going to happen, I might tell you. What is happening already. But the battle will rage much more fiercely yet as the days unfold in these last times. These shall make war with the Lamb. and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. And now this must be your concern, to be with him. Because it is all important that you should be with him. Because another day, it may not be yet with some of you, but in the ultimate issue, it will be the truth regarding everyone under Union Chapel roof, that you will see him. And very solemn it will be if you have never acknowledged him and desired to be numbered with him and with his people. I've told you about Abraham Lincoln a little while ago, and do remember what I said then, when there was a very sad war going on in the United States, and one of Lincoln's friends said to him, "Do you think God is on our side?" And Lincoln said, "I'm not so much concerned about that. My concern is to know that I am on the side of God." And now that gets you down to a bedrock truth. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. But if ye seek him, he will be found of you. Oh, that you might acknowledge him as you're in life's morning, that you might be helped then to serve him all the days of your life. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It means, in acknowledging him, to acknowledge his word. And that has in it an acknowledgement that his word is his word, the word of God. And that is not just repetition, it is a great truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it cannot be obliterated or treated with irreverence, a disrespect, or set aside. If you say, "I'm determined to live the life I want to do, and as for me, I'm quite content to live without thinking about what the Word of God says, how I ought to live," then, if you live such a life and never acknowledge him or his word, what will be the end of it? Then you should think about that. When you come to the end of life's journey, you will have to acknowledge him. If you never know him as your Savior in this life, you will have to acknowledge him as your judge. "And he that rejecteth me and my words, as one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, it shall judge him at the last day." God, in his great mercy, his wondrous wisdom, has given us the Holy Bible Book Divine, and it contains all things necessary for our salvation, and to them that acknowledge him, the word of God is a lamp unto their feet, a light unto their path. Oh, do seek divine aid, dear young people, that you might, ere it is too late, acknowledge him, acknowledge his word, and seek to live in accordance with its blessed teaching. There is a word I like to look at, which is recorded of Daniel And it says here, when there were enemies who had arisen against Daniel, seeking to do him mischief because he served the Lord his God. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And it was supposed to be a time when none were to pray at all, only to the king that reigned in Daniel's day, King Darius. And they went to King Darius. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day, as much as to say, although we have got this law passed, that all men shall pray to thee alone, King Darius, Daniel will acknowledge the Lord is God, and serve him and him alone. What do you children sing sometimes? As children, dare to be a Daniel and dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true and dare to make it known. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In other words, perish policy of cunning, perish all that fears the light, whether losing, whether winning, trust in God and do the right. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And now that means to acknowledge his day. And the word of God, whatever men may do, and at the present time they're trying to do a great deal, even in the House of Parliament, to alter the Sabbath day and how it is to be kept in England as a nation. There are those seeking to overturn the laws of our land regarding the Sabbath day and what the Word of God declares, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And they want it to be a day wherein man can do as he likes and please himself what he should do. But that the Word of God will not allow. Without, he who so behaves will reap in accordance with the seed that he sows, and very solemn the harvest will be. There is a word in Ezekiel, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, ye shall reverence my sanctuary, and this day is to be acknowledged. It is a wonderful provision. It is a day when God is worshipped by his people in the public assemblies. And we do desire to remember what is said of the Sabbath day. O day most calm, most bright, the week were dark but for thy light. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that means if you do that aright, you will remember his house. There is a house of prayer. And you must not think you can sit at home and get religion off the radio or television and think God will accept that as the worship of his holy majesty. For you will find that people will be stamped upon such worship, weighed in the balances and found wanting. There is to be a witness for God in people assembling in this place and that where God is worshipped. And thus they acknowledge him and show whose they are and whom they serve. And how good it is to be able to do it with a willing mind, a right motive, and fields. We love the place, O God, wherein thine honour dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then it means that you will acknowledge his people. You remember what was said to Jonah by the mariners on shipboard, of what people art thou? And Jonah told the truth about it. I am an Hebrew. I fear God, who made the sea and the dry land. And now, if I were to ask you, of what people art thou? What would you say? If I said to some of you, of what people art thou, or what people do you desire to be found amongst, living and dying, I know what some of you would answer. You would desire to acknowledge him, and your concern is to be found amongst his people. With them numbered I would be now and in eternity. And you do acknowledge him when you try to pray, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. It is a wonderful mercy to find in your heart that which knits you to the people of God. There is a word to be found in the Word of God which is rather striking, where it speaks about the godly Colossians, and it says that their hearts might be knit together, being comforted, knit together in love. And now that is known amongst the people of God. And it is a wonderful feeling. Otherwise, you would be strangers to each other, pass each other in the street. But being numbered with the people of God, there is a feeling in your heart. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, and you acknowledge his people for who they are, his people. And in doing that, you acknowledge him who is their God. Like Barnabas, when he came to Antioch and saw the grace of God, he was glad. Of what people art thou? Do you stand alongside Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Are any here sisters to Ruth long ago? Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. Are you glad sometimes to sing, when thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? It is a great thing to be concerned about it. In all thy ways acknowledge him. There is another thought. How good it is to be helped to acknowledge him and to acknowledge his providence. And remember, dear young people, there is an overruling providence that wisely marshals every circumstance. And it is a wonderful provision when you can look at the way you're going along and feel that God has lined it out for you and say, my time are in thy hands. Acknowledge his providence. And here is an illustration I want you to remember. The lady abroad was travelling through a dense forest, and the driver lost his way. He stopped and began to walk among the trees, looking upward. And the lady asked him why he was doing so. He said, if I can find the path in the sky, I shall regain the road on the ground. Where he could see a track of light between the trees, he would know that was where the road was. And now, what you dear young people must be concerned about, as grace is given to you, or that you might have it to be concerned, is to find your paths in the sky. And to do that, David said long ago, I will look up. And remember what you sing on the Union Chapel roof. And you young people all join in and sing it. Fit in what you can, whether it be tenor or bass or treble or alto. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. And now, that is just what we want God to be pleased to do for you. Oh, I remember many years ago, one word in the Psalms that took fast hold of me. I hope it will remain a sweet reality till I die. This God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. Yes. Oh, to have God for our guide. He shall direct thy path. In other words, he shall make straight thy path. And now it comes to my mind, here I go farther to look at the subject from yet another viewpoint of it, if the time will allow. I just look at that margin reading. He shall make straight thy path. Then the inference is that the path you're going along must be crooked. So now, however these crooked paths you are in, you dear young people, how are they to be made straight? There is a way, blessed be God, where they can be made straight. And now, a little while ago, I had a communication from the United States, and in it, there was a magazine, and in the magazine there was a record which I felt when I read it, I must read it to you dear young people. And I can only think of one word which will help you to understand what this incident sets forth. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso forsaketh his sins shall obtain mercy. And it says here, the Christian boat builder worked for an infidel who was always sneering at the young man's Christianity. In vain he talked to the infidel and tried to get him to see the error of his ways, only to receive a mocking reply. This young man decided to build a boat for himself and desired certain expensive copper nails used by his employers in their boat building, as they did not rust out as iron nails do. But they were too costly for the young man to afford, so he fell a prey to temptation. Each week he would slip a few of these nails in his kit as he packed his tools to return home in a nearby town. One Sunday, the preacher spoke on the necessity of confessing one's sins, and in case a neighbor had been wronged, making full restitution. Under this preaching, the young man was brought in guilty and felt himself to be a common thief. He had known all along that his action was wrong, but always tried to justify himself in the matter. But what could he do? If he went to his infidel boss, the man would lose all respect for Christianity. The minister dealt very faithfully with the troubled young Christian. And 2 weeks later, he returned again. And the minister knew by the look on his face that the burden was gone. He was rid of those copper nails at last. He had asked forgiveness of God, then took all the nails he had and brought them to his boss with full confession and offered to pay for what he had used. The boss looked at the man earnestly and said, "I always thought you were an old hypocrite, but I am beginning to think now that there is something in your religion. Do listen." The infidel, and he was the man's employer, the boss, as it said. The infidel told the story to his wife that night, and she said, "I also have got a copper nail in my conscience. The butcher made a mistake. He gave me too much change. I'll take it back in the morning." And she did. And she told the butcher how she came to return it. And now this butcher must have been a good man, and he was impressed thereby, and he had a preacher visiting in his home who was to address a group of high school students the next day, and he told him the tale. Later the principal called up the speaker and said, after this preacher had given his address and he told the tale of these copper nails, and the principal said that over 50 fountain pens, pencils, books, etc. had been returned by the scholar who heard the address. And the preacher goes on to say, "Let us get rid of the copper nails in our consciences and see if God will not bless us. If you have taken anything, return it. If you have wronged someone, straighten it out. If you are unforgiving, critical and gossipy, get it out of the way. Copper nails in the conscience, oh what a relief to get rid of them." And now, you see how that worked in that far off land when they were brought to acknowledge him and confess their guiltiness. Have any of you young people got any copper nails in your consciences? Are there matters that you have got hidden up that you know have taken place? And sometimes you live them over again, but they were nothing whatever to do with that knowledge in him. But when you were following after the flesh, the things of the flesh, things wherein the truth of the matter is, if you told the truth, you would be guilty before God. Copper nails in our consciences, they were never rust. They can only be removed if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you, dear young people, you might think that little record over. And if you should have any copper nail in your conscience, the equivalent of it, do remember what the subject is. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Like the woman in the gospel, when falling down at Jesus' feet, she told him all the truth. Go and do likewise. Tell him all the truth, and you will find that through this man there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Do remember that. What though bad is your condition, and your wound you can't endure, Christ the sinner's wise position will effect a perfect cure. And now I just look at this subject from another viewpoint, coming toward the Amen. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And now there is a word in the book of Jeremiah which is a truth that you will have to remember as long as you live, if you should be taught of God. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. You may, as you're in life's morning, sit down and plan what you will be. It is quite lawful for you to have ambition, provided that ambition is inside the covers of the Word of God, and for you to think you would like to be this or that in your life as you live it, and feel a useful fear therein. But what you need, first of all, last of all, is to acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And if God should set you going in paths that he has ordained, he will be with you all the way along, from the beginning of it to the end of it. I am a living witness to that truth, because in my life's morning I purpose, as you know, to be a printer, and I serve my apprenticeship in a printing office and learnt the trade, and I progressed in it, and I was very attached to it, and I climbed up the ladder quite a good way, and things looked very promising. And I hope in the days ahead I might have a printing office of my own. But then, at that time, after I came out of my apprenticeship, I was born again. And I still was in the printing trade, thinking my life's work was therein. But my health broke down. I contracted lead poisoning, and I could no longer continue in the printing trade. And when I was 23 years of age, I was back where I started. I was just a poor man, but I had God to go to, and I wondered what the future held in store. And I little dreamed what my life work would be, although I had had a hint or two in my soul's exercises that I might another day become a preacher of the gospel. But I thought it would be in connection with my life in the printing trade. But God directed my path, and I came to Union Chapel. And coming to Union Chapel, by the grace of God, I have remained from that day to this. And as you all know, it will soon be 50 years completed as Union Chapel pastor. And all that while, the goodness of God has gone before us, my wife and I. And we have lived our life like Manoah and his wife. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. Many a time we have seen mountains leveled, crooked things made straight, rough places plain, the hand of God uplifted on our behalf, and his blessing has been upon us from the beginning of my pastor even until this Sabbath eve, and I believe it will be till my life work here is done. This is a deep foundation truth, dear young people. You can trust the word of God. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Fear him, ye say, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Make you his service, your delight, your want shall be his care. Had the time allowed, I would have shown you some of the palms, some of them, and they do seem mostly to be like that with many young people in life's morning. The paths are pleasant to go along. The path of home life as you live it, with a godly father and mother, and your house as full as it can hold of creature comfort, and with a goodly measure of health to enjoy it, and privileges, benefits and blessings innumerable. Your path in your home life, in life's morning, a pleasant path to go along, but it may be something will come upon you. If you are taught of God as it did upon me, and then while home life with its pleasant paths remains, you will not realize the pleasantness so much, because your individual path is now become a painful path to tread. God is leading you, directing you, and maybe he will lay affliction upon you. You may awake one morning, go forth to your duties, and all is well. You have good health to the full, but ere the day ends, something may have come upon you, overtaken you, and from that day on, you may go weeks, months, years, and carry the effects of it, and your path in life is made painful. Yet, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. I remember when I was sorely afflicted, and the earthly physician said I should never preach 3 times on a Sabbath day again, if I ever did preach at all. And the word of God came to me, I know, O Lord, that in all things thy judgments are right, and that thou hast in faithfulness afflicted me. And I could acknowledge him in his dealings with me, that he had dealt with me not in anger, but in his dear covenant love. And here I am, and I have tried to preach, I should say, some thousands of times since then. Hundreds and hundreds of times, 3 times on the Sabbath day, as a rule I always do. And here I am in life's evening time, and still being helped along. But it all depends on this. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And now, dear friends, young friends I mean especially, here you are in life's morning, and your paths are pleasant. And now I want you to think of this. If you drove a car 10 hours a day at 50 miles per hour, it would take 3.5 years to pass the lines of hungry people on the earth standing 2 feet apart. You might think of that. 2/3 of the world go to bed, hungry people, young and old alike, very solemn to contemplate. Do you? Oh, you know. Your table is well spread. You have a happy home life, a comfortable bed, and what wages you receive, so that you have ever got some LSD in your pocket. Yes, and see that you do not do what Peggy I refer to, either earnest wages to put it into a bag with holes. But remember in these pleasant paths to say thank you to God that you are going along such paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And if your path should be painful and your way seems to be hedged up, still remember what the Word of God says. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And it may be ere long, God will say to you, in the way you are going along, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and which leadeth thee in the way in which thou shouldest go. Some of your paths you will find will be perplexing. You will have difficulties arising. But do remember, John the Baptist's disciples, when their dear master was beheaded, what did they do? Then the disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. And you go and do likewise. Remembering in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And remember, if you help to do that, and live your life in the light of such a truth, so that you belong to Him and His people, whatever path you go along, whether pleasant, painful, or perplexing, you will have a prospect when you get to the end of it. And the hymn writer said, then will He own my worthless name before His Father's face, and in the new Jerusalem appoint my soul a place. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Dear young people, the blessing of the Lord be upon you in time and eternity too. Amen.